First, thousands of unaccompanied migrant children arriving in the southern U.S. since March have been sent back to their home countries by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. ICE cites the risk of coronavirus as a legal justification for the expulsions, many of which happen without the usual legal processes for those seeking asylum. That's happening despite many of these children having already tested negative for COVID-19. Dara Lind is an immigration reporter for ProPublica. She's been following the story. Dara, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me on.
How would this process ordinarily work for an unaccompanied minor seeking asylum in the U.S.?
So there are specific federal laws in place that make sure that kids who are coming without their parents, anyone under the age of 18, are guaranteed a shot at a court hearing. They're given the chance to make a case for asylum. The way that that's done is that instead of just kind of being detained by ICE and deported, they are supposed to be sent to the Department of Health and Human Services, which has an office that takes care of unaccompanied kids, puts them in shelters for a time, and tries to find their closest relative in the U.S. to house them while they go through the legal process. That's supposed to happen within 72 hours of Border Patrol apprehending the kid to begin with, so that they don't end up languishing in, Customs and Border Protection or ICE detention conditions that are really not suitable for children to be in.
What has been happening under COVID-19?
So shortly after the federal government started kind of taking the coronavirus threat seriously, the CDC came out with an order that used a pretty obscure public health law that hadn't really been invoked in this way before, to say that the risk of migrants introducing COVID-19 into the country was such that any migrant entering without papers was now barred from entry into the U.S., which may sound redundant, but what it allowed the administration to do was say, we don't care if you say you want to seek asylum. We don't care if you say you've been persecuted. Under this order, we have to push you back, either to Mexico for some Mexican and Central American migrants, or just put you on a plane back to your home country as quickly as possible. That is happening both for adults and families who don't have these extra protections written into the law, and for children, even though there is supposed to be kind of a specific process that kids are supposed to follow. The administration argues that because they're using this public health law, they don't have to include the legal protections that immigration law guarantees for these people because they're not putting them through the standard immigration process.
Has anyone been arguing against that interpretation of the law?
Oh, plenty of people have been arguing against the interpretation of the law, but as is so often the case under this administration, the most obvious way to challenge it would be in court. And there have been some problems there because it's hard to find someone who would have standing to sue, given that these children are often being held in hotels for as long as it takes to arrange for their flight home. They're not being given access to lawyers. They're being given like one phone call to family. It's been very hard to even identify, where children are, much less get in touch with them. And then they're sent out of the country quickly. So it's hard to find somebody who could be the plaintiff in a lawsuit. The ACLU actually over the weekend filed a class action lawsuit because they've made several attempts to identify individual kids, and they either end up getting deported or ICE relents and sends them to Health and Human Services, thus making it impossible for them to sue. So there hasn't really been an opportunity for kind of that argument to get made in court over the legality of this, even though the judges that have heard kind of preliminary arguments for these individual kids have shown some skepticism.
Talking to Dara Lind, immigration reporter for ProPublica, about her coverage of a story at the U.S. border, unaccompanied minors coming up to the border being sent back based on fears of the spread of COVID-19, not going through the usual legal process. And Dara, one irony you report on is that in many cases, these unaccompanied minors are tested for COVID-19 and have to test negative before they can be sent back to their home countries. Do I have that right?
Yes, as bizarre as that sounds. So because of these specific federal laws that are in place that are specific to migrant children, in order to deport them, ICE basically has had to get agreements with individual countries saying, hey, can we send back these unaccompanied kids? You know, do you consent to that? And what ICE has told Congress and what they've told the court monitor in the Flores case, which is the very, very longstanding case overseeing the care of children in immigration custody, what ICE has told both of those entities is that every country that requires them, that allows them to take back kids, requires those kids to be tested for COVID-19 before they are sent back. And so in the name of, you know, in the name of safety and in complying with these agreements, ICE has said that they're administering, you know, the rapid Abbott tests that, you know, have been criticized for their false positive rate, but which the White House and the administration has pushed really aggressively. And in some cases, for some countries, actually, ICE is actually conducting submitting lab tests and waiting, you know, an additional 4 or 5 days for those test results to come back. If children have COVID-19, they're being kept in the U.S. There is some evidence that, you know, families that test positive for COVID-19, they're put into detention instead of getting sent back home. So what ends up happening is that in the name of preventing the spread of COVID-19, ICE is holding these children again for like days or weeks in this quarantine hotel setting, then testing them, and then deporting them once they test negative for the virus, which would appear to undermine the rationale for the CDC's order, which was that you couldn't successfully quarantine migrants in custody, and therefore you had to get them out of custody as quickly as possible.
I want to talk about kind of the start of the story for that unaccompanied minor entering the country. Is this the same story if they, you know, present themselves at a point of entry and seek asylum, or if they cross at a different point and then claim asylum once they're in the U.S., does it work the same either way they come in?
Generally, yes. The Trump administration has been making it pretty hard for people, even before coronavirus, made it hard for asylum seekers to present at ports of entry. The ports of entry that were most common for asylum seekers were subject to a process that was kind of unofficially called metering, where they had a set number of people they would take per day. So you had these impromptu waiting lists popping up along the border. Under coronavirus, you know, the United States and Mexico have agreed to shut down, you know, some forms of travel anyway. So they're not necessarily getting taken in that way. If they were to get, you know, and the fact that they're not, that they're not really accepting anyone for asylum anyway because of this expulsion policy means that that's all kind of a moot point. But yeah, it's one of the ironies of this administration that even though, you know, officials will say that they have no problem with people seeking asylum as long as they do it the right way or do it legally, people who present themselves at ports of entry, even though they're not breaking any federal law, are being prevented from making claims for asylum.
And you've been following that wider asylum claim story. As you say, this policy has been in effect since before COVID-19?
The metering policy has, yes. So it's the Trump administration has essentially spent the last few years trying to reduce what it calls loopholes in the asylum process, essentially trying to make it as difficult as unlikely as possible that someone will be released into the U.S. Pending an asylum claim. That was the logic behind family separation in late spring of 2018. Once that got shut down by a court, they've issued a couple of regulations that make asylum harder. They've instituted this, they've expanded the use of metering. They before COVID were routinely sending migrants back to Mexico to wait. They'd have court dates in the U.S. They'd have to show up at the port on the day of their court date, get shuttled in, have a court hearing, or, you know, get shuttled out. And that would go for months often. With COVID, they've had to keep delaying those hearings. So there are actually people waiting in northern Mexico who have been there since early 2019 who are waiting for a theoretical asylum court date in the U.S. because they're trying to go through the process, you know, the quote unquote right way, and are now at major risk of exposure to coronavirus, or for that matter, you know, because in many cases migrants are sleeping outside or in impromptu shelters, some of the areas in the Rio Grande Valley that have, you know, that have had flooding issues, extreme heat, all of that is convening upon this group of people who are just essentially stuck at the border.
And wrapping up with the unaccompanied minors story you've been following, what are you watching for next in our last minute, Dara?
We'll certainly see if this does end up coming, if this class action suit ends up coming before a judge. I'm going to be interested to see how ICE tries to square the fact that they are testing children with the supposed centrality of the risk that they might be carrying COVID-19, or for that matter, if they stop testing so that they can demonstrate the policy is necessary.
Dara, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Dara Lind, immigration reporter at ProPublica. She joins today to talk about federal immigration authorities using the danger of COVID-19 as a reason for expelling thousands of unaccompanied migrant children from the U.S. this year. Many of them, though, as we heard, had tested negative for coronavirus. They had to do that before they could be sent back to their home countries. You can share your thoughts on any of the latest border news. It's been under the radar in some ways amidst COVID-19 and so many other issues going on. Is there a question you have about what's going on the U.S.-Mexico border right now? You can reach out to us with your questions. Email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Let us know what's on your mind, and we can try to tackle your questions in a future segment of Central Time.